to not want to talk for a few minutes about the victorious Christian life, the victorious Christian life. And, there is a place, that God wants us to be. There is a victory that Christ has already won, and he has made it available to you and I. And we as Christians have already experienced that victory, but we're going to look at tonight at the, there's an enemy of our soul that wants to discourage us and to cause us not to walk in that victory and to cause us to experience defeat. But there is a place. And how do we know if we're walking in victory? Well, do you ever find yourself, and I've found myself here many of times, a person that's not walking in victory is someone who in their life is weak and they are experiencing defeats, and they are discouraged and weak and just very unhappy. It's not a very pleasant place to be in a place that you don't feel like you have the victory. But I'm here to tell you tonight that there is a place, that there is a victory that the Lord has already won, that we're going to look at here tonight, that after we experience the fullness of that victory, he intends for us to walk in it, and that we can, just as Brother Greg led to singing earlier, we can sing about the hallelujah side. We can experience the glory of experiencing Christ's victory. Nothing we do in ourselves, and the most important thing we've already experienced, even before I begin, is that as we've been praying for these needs, we are admitting that in ourselves we have no hope. There's nothing we can do for these needs we've been praying for. In ourselves it seems hopeless, and if we focus on those things, then it seems like there's even defeat, and what are we going to do, and how can we make this happen? But we need to realize that just as we've been experiencing the last few minutes, there is a victory that as we reach out and stand in the presence of God and experience Christ's victory, he's already won. All our life can change, and we can have tremendous victory even in this hour that we live. Let's turn over to Hebrews just as a launching point. There's a lot of scripture tonight. We're going to try to put it on the board, on the screen tonight. So, most of it will be put up here to kind of help me go through it a little quicker. But tonight we want to look at Hebrews chapter 2 verses 14 and 15. And scripture says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." For us to fully understand victory, we're going to look at who we're fighting tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you most of all that, Lord, we don't have to be afraid. Lord, we don't have to be defeated. Lord, we don't have to be, Lord, in fear, but God, we can walk in the victory that you have already won on the cross. And God, that you've already paid the price and won a victory, that we too can, Lord, stand in that victory. And God, we have power over the enemy. He doesn't have power over us. Almighty God, if we stand in the victory that you've already given us, thank you, Lord, that you paid the price that we couldn't pay. Thank you that you won the victory, oh Lord, that we could never do. And Lord, I pray that tonight, every single one of us, Lord, leave this place walking in complete and full victory, Lord. And we'll give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. For us to fully understand what this victorious life is, we need to go back and see where the struggle comes from. If we go back into heaven, we see that Satan was not always the enemy of God, but at one time he was Lucifer. He was an angel that was highly exalted in the presence of God. And God had given him such tremendous power, and he was beautiful to behold, and there was such a brightness. His name even means morning star. He was a bright and beautiful angel. But something happened with all that God had given him. He must have began looking at what he was, and he started thinking somehow that all that he had, he had accomplished himself, and he began to covet to be more and to be equal with God. And we see that there was judgment, that God brought judgment upon him. For it says in Isaiah 14:12 through 15, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I want you to look at these five I wills that he had in his heart. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And then it says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So we see that he started looking at what he thought he, or what he could accomplish, and started looking and thinking of himself that he was going to be equal with God. He coveted the praise and the worship and the power of God. And he started saying, I'm going to look at myself and I'm going to exalt myself. You know, and I started looking at that. I got thinking about how many times I've experienced defeat in my life with these same things. When I start thinking of what I will do, what I'm going to accomplish, and get my mind off of the things of God and realizing that there is nothing good in my life that came from me, it all comes from him. And we see that our enemy was cast out of heaven because of the sin that he conceived in his heart, and he was cast from the presence of God. Ezekiel 28, 16 and 17 says, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. We see that Satan was judged and cast from the presence of God. And then we see that in the garden, that God had created man and Adam and Eve in the garden, and that God had a relationship with man, and he loved man, and he breathed his breath into man, and he had given them just one command, that they could partake of everything in the garden except for one tree in the midst of the garden. And we see that in Genesis chapter 3, that the serpent comes to Eve and speaks to Eve and says to her right from the beginning, did God say that you can't eat of every tree that's in this garden? And Eve then responded back to him, says, God did say we can't eat of anything in this garden but one tree, the one in the midst of the garden. And if we are not even to touch it or partake of it. And Satan then cast a lie into her heart and said, God knows that if you partake of this tree, if you partake of this fruit, that it's going to make you equal with God. And he caused her to covet and to think of herself more highly than she ought to think. And then we see that she partook of this, and when she gave to man, her to her husband, that all of a sudden there was a separation between man and God. And that's same exact sin still passes to us today. That's where the battle is. Even through every person that's born, that sin nature that was conceived in the garden is passed down through every person born, even to us today. So Satan thought he'd won a great victory. He thought he'd won a great victory against God because he had separated the relationship that God had intended for you and I. He thought he'd won a great victory in the garden, but God cast judgment upon Satan, and he prophesied what he was going to do. He brought judgment upon man and woman and Eve. And then he said in Genesis 3:15, he says, and I will put enmity, that word means hatred, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God is not mocked. God said, listen, let me tell you something. Even before man was even created, I already have a plan. I already have a plan that you may come, and you have brought destruction, and you have caused sin to enter into the world, and you have separated me from man and the relationship that I intended. But I already have a plan that my son is going to come. And he's going to come, and he's going to come at the appointed time that I have set, and he's going to bring a victory. And he's not only going to win a victory for himself, but he's going to win a victory for you and me, that we can also partake in it. And it's going to not only, you may do damage to what you may have brought damage here, but he's going to crush your head. He's going to bring destruction upon you. And we see that it was fulfilled when Jesus came to the earth, and he came and as sinless, he became the Son of God who conceived with Mary, who was born without sin and lived his life sinless. And we see that he lived his life sinless. And then we find in Luke 23 and 44, we see that he fulfilled this judgment that was going to come upon Satan. Satan thought he was going to win a great victory. Satan thought, oh, I've won. I've got Christ exactly where I want him to do. I've defeated him. I've destroyed. We're going to kill him. It says in Luke 23:44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. You see, the enemy thought he'd won another victory. He thought, I've done it again. I have thwarted the efforts of God. Jesus is no longer going to be able to come and to defeat my attack, but I have defeated him. But while he's throwing a party in hell, and while they're sitting there rejoicing because they have defeated our Savior, all of a sudden something happens. They hear someone at the gate, and Jesus Christ comes and takes away the keys of hell, death, and the grave from Satan. He has defeated him. The very thing that Satan thought he was using to defeat Christ, we see that Christ defeated him. God's plan was being fulfilled, that he had to die. He died not only that he would win victory, eternal victory against Satan, but that you and I can share in that same exact victory. And then we see that 3 days later that he rose from the dead, that he came from the dead. It says Luke 24:1, they were looking for him. They had come to the sepulcher looking for him. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices that they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garment. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He fulfilled the exact purpose and plan of God. God, listen, whatever you go through in your life, realize this. You will never have anything happen to you that God is not well aware of. God has already got a plan, no matter what you're going through. And here, Christ won the victory. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be. See, up to this point, that men had walked in fear, and men had no hope, for no one could pay the price. No man could walk sinless before God and pay the price. They had to have temporary coverings of the blood of bulls and sheep, and it was just a temporary covering, and nothing could cover the sin of man. But even at the foundation of the world, the Christ submitted himself and said, I'll pay the price. Even though man has sinned and separated himself from me, and the enemy has caused there to be a separation, I will go and I will pay the price, because I want to give you victory. Now, the thing is, the devil, even though Christ won this victory, the enemy of our soul wants us to believe that we're still defeated. You know, when we get saved, we also, just like Christ who died and rose again, we take part into that same exact death and burial and resurrection, that our old man dies and we raise again, not the same creature, but a new creature. We're made new, and everything's made new. It's nothing we can do in ourselves, because just like man before Christ came, we have no ability to do anything in ourselves. In ourselves, it is hopeless. Whatever problem you're going through, there is nothing you're going to be able to do to get yourself out of it. It is only when we come before Christ and we say, I want to experience the fullness of the power that you have already won for me. He's already won it. You know what? Much of the church tonight walks in total despair. Why? Because we're walking in our own strength. We're walking in our own wisdom. We're looking to ourselves, and we can't do it. Look at Japan, like we were just talking about earlier. We're praying for them. They can't do anything to fix their problem. It was catastrophic. Nothing man could do could have held that back. But now I even heard a report on the radio today that the governor of Tokyo on radio or in the public announced that the reason that they're going through what they're going through right now is because it's a judgment from God, because they had exalted themselves, that they had wanted things instead of God, and God was bringing judgment. Oh, what an amazing statement from the governor of Tokyo. It's something I would have never expected to hear. But God wants us to realize that we can't do anything in ourselves. But if you're going through weakness and discouragement, we need to realize that don't try to fix it yourself. Don't try to win the victory, because you're going to fall just like man has done throughout history. But when we get saved, we need to cast all of our strength and all of our hope on Him. We need to cast it upon Him. We need to identify. If we're going to live in a life of victory, there's four things that we need to look at quickly here tonight, hopefully, is that if we're going to walk in victory, number one, we need to identify with Christ and walk in the victory He's already won for us. He's won the victory. And all we have to do is accept that victory and realize, just like we were saved, there's nothing you could do to get saved. I remember when I had backslidden upon the Lord and I had turned my back on Him and I'd went out in the world and did all the things that I really should have never done and thought I would never do. And then it would have been years and I had a family and I was so tore up. I would hold my son and he was as a baby, and I would look at my life and I would carry him around and cry when Marie didn't know it. And I'd say, God, please. Don't let my boy to grow up like me, be like me. I was just so distraught because I realized I was lost and I had turned my back on God and I needed the Lord to do something, and I felt hopeless and I didn't know what I could do about it. And then there was an opportunity that caused us to come back to church, and we just kept coming, and I kept hearing the gospel, and I just didn't feel the drawing I thought I should feel. And one night, after several weeks of coming back on Sunday nights, that I felt like the Lord was drawing us, and we came down to pray. And I know I've told you this before, but I got up here praying and I just, despair set into me. The devil was saying in my ear, I couldn't feel anything. I got up here and I thought the Lord was going to do something, and I was praying and my wife was just bawling next to me. She'd never been saved before. And I was praying and I just felt like I couldn't get through. And the devil was saying in my ear, saying, you ain't going to get it. He ain't going to do anything for you. You've already had your last chance. You've already wasted your last opportunity. It's over for you. And I felt just a despair, because I was all in my strength. I was trying to get something. I was trying to struggle to get through. And finally, I just said, well, God, if you're not going to do anything for me, then please save my wife. She needs you so bad. And I don't know what the significance of that was, but at that very minute, oh, I felt the holy presence of God just come over me like rain from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And oh, I knew it wasn't anything I did, but it was what He did. I was able to experience the victory that He won that day on the cross for me. It wasn't what I did. It was what He did. And if we're going to walk in victory, we got to identify and realize the victory's already won. If you ever watched a game, I've watched sports in the past, and your team is playing and it's just back and forward, and you know, time's running out and you have no idea what the outcome of that game. Sometimes they're a big game and you're so worried. That's really stupid to even be tore up about things like that, but you get tore up and your blood pressure's up and you're screaming and you're tore up. You want to turn it off. You can't already stand it. But you know what? And so it tears you up and you're just rooting for the team, hoping that you're going to win. But you know what? There's been times that you can watch an instant replay, or you can watch the thing after the fact, and you already know the score. How much easier is it for us to relax knowing, oh, my team wins? Well, you know what? That's a stupid illustration. But in our lives, we already know the end of the book. We already know who wins. The Lord's already won the battle. He's already stomped the head of Satan, and He wants you to walk in that tonight. He doesn't want you to walk defeated. He doesn't want you to go home and be afraid and not know how to get through that problem and those temptations dragging you down and you being fearful and not knowing what you're going to do and how you're going to make it happen. He says you don't have to do it in yourself. All you got to do is rely on me, because I've already won the victory. Don't you understand? Haven't you read the end of the book? You win. You win when you put your confidence in me. So don't be cast down. Don't be discouraged. Throw your confidence on the Lord, for He's already won your battle, not just His battle. He won the battle for you and me. that we, as we identify with Him, as we live our life and we accept the victory that He's won for our lives, we can have great victory. He came in perfect timing. Romans 5:6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." The perfect time, that due time, when God's perfect timing, when we couldn't do it for ourselves, God sent Him to die for us, not for good people, not for rich people or popular people, but for the ungodly. That sin that separated us from God, that sin that separated us, that we couldn't have that relationship anymore, He sent that Christ could restore that relationship. Thank God He died for me and you. Hebrews 2:14, we've already read, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same." He became flesh and blood, just like you and me, "that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." We were in bondage. It makes me think of the Pilgrim's Progress for you all that's read it. I know I've alluded to it before. You read the book and it's just, you can feel the weight if you've read it. He's carrying this load on his back and it gets heavier and heavier. He can't hardly bear it anymore because he's carrying it in his strength. But when he finally, you're thinking, man, he needs to get rid of that. That's wearing me out just hearing about it. But finally, what does he do? He comes to the foot of the cross and it just rolls off his back. Thank God that we were in bondage, but the Lord came and He gave us victory. He won a victory that we could come to this altar. Altar vile, a sinner lost, away from God with no hope, and all we have to do is put our knee on that altar and cast our cares on Him and ask Him to give us His victory, and He imparts it to us and says, "I give you my victory that I've already won." Thank God He came in the perfect timing of God. Hallelujah. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." The adoption of sons. You know what? There is, I was thinking about this adoption of sons to think of how we were outcast and we were Gentiles and we had no hope. There was nothing in ourselves. We were on a path to destruction and we had no means of ourselves. We had nothing in ourselves. The devil had us under bondage and he had us under control and we were his servant. But when we become Christians and we accept the Lord and walk in His victory, then we are adopted away from the family. We had the time of misery. And we had no hope and we were just in despair. But the Lord took us when He saved us and He takes us from where we are and He transplants us into the family of God. And now we become sons and daughters of God. And I got thinking about that adoption. You know, when someone is adopted, I was thinking of Moses and how Moses come from this Hebrew family. And because of the divine hand of God, he was brought right into the king's house. And he was raised up in that king's house. And because of the fact that he was adopted into this home, he wasn't born there. This wasn't his true mother or his family. But because he was accepted in and adopted into this family, there was privileges that he obtained that he could have not have done but without being adopted. You know what? When we are adopted into the presence of God, into His family, now we have authority over the power of the enemy that we didn't have before. We have privileges. We have blessings that because we are not the same person anymore. We're not that same unsaved, lost, unredeemed person, but now we are adopted in sons and daughters of Christ. And when we come up to the enemy, he will try to tell us, "Who do you think you are? I remember who you were." And he throws our sin in our face and he says, "Do you remember how vile you were? God may forget, but I'm not going to forget." And he throws it in our face. You can say to him, "Oh, but see, you don't understand. I've been adopted in. I am now a son, a daughter of God. I'm not that person anymore." And now we being sons and daughters of God, we have authority to say, you know what? When king's sons and daughters walk into a room, they command the same presence as the king himself. They become princes. And when they come into the room, there is an authority. Not that we have anything in ourselves, but we have been given authority. Not that we did it ourselves, but because we are the sons of God, we are given the authority of God. Hallelujah. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be cast down. We don't have to come into church and go through just a normal service, but we can come in victorious that no matter what we're going through, Paul went through shipwreck. Paul went through all kinds of trouble, and yet he could be victorious and do mighty things with blessings that we are still experiencing here tonight. Why? Because he lived a victorious life. No matter what circumstance he went through, he walked in victory. But even though we walk in victory and he's given us and we can walk in his victory, he's already won for us. The devil will come to you and try to steal it from you. He wants to try to get you to be discouraged. He wants you to partake of things that's going to cause you to be weak and to cause you to be fearful. He wants you to do things in your life that'll bring sin back into your life and to cause there to be separation between you and God. It says if we're saved, we need to not allow sin and things in our life that's displeasing to God that will give Satan victory in our life. It says in 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The Lord came that you would not have to be in bondage to that sin anymore. He came that when you are saved and you come back up from being saved, that he gives you a new life and you're not under those bondage anymore of Satan, but he came to break that hold and to give you victory. If you're going through things in your life and you're falling back into sin and there's things in your life that's dragging you down, we need to get up every day and say, Lord, I don't have to partake of this anymore. The power of the enemy has no more of a stronghold on me because I've experienced the full victory of the cross. And Lord, I'm going to walk in your strength and I know you're going to take me through. Lord, you have all power. And listen, if you'll do that, the Lord will give you the strength to be able to endure and overcome anything that's in your life. Too many times we allow little things in our heart and our life that we know that's displeasing to God. We know it. God puts his finger on it, but we look at other people. We look at other circumstances. We justify it because somebody did something wrong or because it's not that big a deal. There's a lot of people doing worse. And God puts his, but you know what? All it does is give the enemy another stronghold in our life. And that's not what God purposed. God says, I got more for you. Don't let the enemy put a stronghold in your life. I've got full victory. I want you to walk in the fullness of my power. And the only way we can do this, don't give the enemy a stronghold in our life. You know what? If we die, if someone dies, no longer is there any provision. You don't feed. If someone's dead, you don't feed them anymore. And you don't put them new clothes on them every day and you don't do things. You don't go buy stuff from at the store. You quit doing, there is no provision. When we're dead and when we have died in our flesh, then we need to quit providing for the things of the flesh that's causing us to have strongholds in our life that the enemy can take hold of because there is nothing that the Satan fears more than a victorious Christian. He doesn't want you to be victorious. He wants you to come in. He wants you to come in, just kind of just drag in and sit in the pew and think, I don't know if I'll be able to get through tomorrow or not, but I'll just do my best. And in your own strength, drag yourself in and drag yourself back out. He loves it when we're weak. He loves it when he steals from us. He wants to convince you there's no hope, that God loves this person more than you. And God's power is more alive in this person. And it's just, he's turned his back on you. But God says, I've given every single person in this room a great victory if they'll just cast their cares upon me. Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. What are we doing in our life? How are we living our life? Are we serving Christ? Are we living in the victory that he's given us? What example are we to the world if they see us going through the exact same things they're going through? They see us going through the same temptations and failing. If they see us talking the same way they do. But oh, what a life and what an example it can be when you have someone that is just walking in victory and they see that even though you go through trouble and trial, that you still have a spring in your step and there's joy in your heart. Why? Because you can say, because I already know the outcome, that the Lord has already told me that this is going to work out good to me, and I know that there is victory ahead, and all I got to do is hang on to the hand of the Lord. Oh, that's what people are looking for, and that's what he desires to do, but we can't fall into temptation. I was thinking as I was putting this point down that I remember as a kid a story, I think Brother Huff maybe told, about someone who was trying to fast, and they thought they had a lot of strength in themselves, and they were fasting. and they were really hungry and they was craving a Big Mac. And this guy, and I'll probably get it a little bit wrong, but this guy went and he said, "I'll tell you what, devil, I'll show you." And he went to McDonald's and he bought him a Big Mac. He was really wanting one. And he said, "I'll show you. I can resist the temptation to eat this. And I've committed. I'm going to fast today and I'll show you what I can do." So he went and got the Big Mac and went through the drive through and got it. And he set it right up on the dashboard right above in front of him. Said, "See there, devil? I can resist that. I'm going to resist that and show you that I'm stronger than you are." Said in a few minutes, he said, "Well, I'll even show you that I can open it up." And he opened the lid up and steam comes rolling up off the bun and kind of covers the part of his windshield and the aroma starts rolling out. "See there, devil? I can resist it." And it said all of a sudden that aroma just filled that car and it just got about more than he could handle. And he got craving that all beef patty special sauce sesame seed bun, and he said the next thing he knew, he was putting the last bite in his mouth and he's nothing but an empty box. We have no strength in ourselves. We can't do it. We are no match for the enemy ourselves, for we are fighting against not flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual darkness that comes against us and wants us to be weak. And he wants us to try to react in the flesh, because if you react and try to defeat the enemy in the flesh, you're already defeated. You can't do it. You can't beat him. You're not strong enough. You don't have anything in yourself. I was noticing this morning that when I was studying this and I come in to pray, and this happens quite a bit, especially if you get up real early in the morning, come and pray. You know, you don't always, I mean, some of you all may do this, but I don't. I don't usually wake up in the morning just feeling 100% just spiritual. I'll come in here and start praying and stuff and I'm struggling and it's like I'm checking the feeling that's going on inside me. And I'm thinking, "Lord, I don't feel real spiritual. I don't feel real saved at this minute. I don't feel excited." And then all of a sudden the thought came to me, "Hey, listen, that's the flesh trying to wake up here today. You're not going to walk in that flesh. It's never going to feel like it should, but you walk in my victory, for I've already done something. It doesn't matter how you feel. I've already won the victory. Walk in the spirit. That's where your strength comes from. For we can't do anything in this flesh. It's got to be something that we do in the, we're in the spirit. We need to cast our cares upon him. And if we're going to fully walk in victory and experience the fullness victory, we must associate ourselves with Christ. Death. There's got to be a death to ourselves. There's got to be a death to our desires. We can't make any provision for the flesh. Colossians 3:5 says, "Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For these things sake the wrath of God cometh to the children of disobedience. And the wrath you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. All what despair is in our life before we find Christ. All these vile things. You know what? I go looking through that list and so many of them was part of my life. And if we don't let Christ do something, let that old man, we need to associate with Christ and we must identify with him in death. We've got to die to ourselves. We got to die to that old man. We can't try to drag him with us and try to become who we used to be and just add Christ to it. But we've just got to die to ourselves and we got to come to the altar and say, "Lord, I don't want this anymore. I can't live it." You know, it's the most miserable thing to come to the altar and say, "Lord, just add yourself to everything else and let me just try to keep who I am and to still be who I am." You'll never find success. People that struggle many times is because they don't want to give up the things in their life. They don't want to lay it on the altar and come to that point. Let me tell you something. I came to a point where I didn't want me anymore. I was tired of who I was. And I know you all were the same way. We have got to come and identify with Christ in his death and die to ourselves. Ephesians 4:22, "that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Thank God that we can leave the old man and he dies there at the altar and we can become new. Thank God for a new beginning. Hallelujah. That I got up that night when I got saved and I just couldn't wait to get to my dad's house to tell him him what had happened to me, for something to change. I came in this door one person and I went out another, a brand new man with a whole new life and a whole new future. Thank God that we can identify in his death and become new. And we must also identify with Christ in his resurrection. Thank God that when we come up from that altar, that we now have a new hope and a new life. Romans 6:8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Hallelujah. He liveth unto God. That's the way we can be in our life. We come and we had eternal destruction, and the sentence was eternal death and separation from God. But because of the victory of Christ, we are raised to die no more a spiritual death, but we now have eternal life. Life here, abundant life, but oh, an eternal life. We don't have to be afraid. Oh, to be a Christian and to come to that deathbed and just to be able to say, I know it doesn't end here, but oh, I have eternal life, and it's been glorious what God has done for me here, but I can't wait to see what he's got for me over there. Hallelujah. We can associate with Christ in his resurrection. And then finally, we must identify with Christ in a daily surrendered life. Every single day, we need to get up and that take on that victory and saying, God, I know if I walk in my strength today, I'm going to fail you. I know that if I try to do things in myself, or if I let the enemy have 1 inch in my life, I'm not going to experience the fullness of what you want to do. You know what? Tonight, what we were doing was walking in victory. Tonight, what we were experiencing was when Brother Jarvis, fulfilled what the Lord had put on his heart to pray for the congregation. And then people started getting courage in their heart and saying, you know what? God's going to do something. I know that. And let me pray for this need. You know what? What made the difference? There was a hope that rised up. There was a hope in her heart that said, you know what? God can do things if we call on his name. The enemy wants you to think that God is deaf and God does not hear us when we cry out to him. But the Lord says, I've won the victory. All you've got to do is claim it. All you've got to do is walk in it. All you've got to do is test. And all you've got to do is try me and see if I've not won the victory for you. And sometimes it just takes that. Just like that prayer over Brother Marty's life, to touch your eyes. The Lord, sometimes we just have to stand in faith and call out on God, and God can do the miraculous in our lives. And he wants to show himself. Let me tell you something. God's not weak and frail and afraid to do something. God says, oh, walk after me, seek after me, die to yourself. Walk every day putting me first in your life, and you'll experience the fullness of victory so that you can see the hand of God moving. That's the reason there's so little going on in churches, is that we don't walk in victory. We're discouraged and we're cast down and we're looking at what we can do and what we can't do. But the Lord's saying, if you'll just get out of the way, if you'll just get yourself and everything in the flesh out of the way, I'm going to give great victory in your life and in this church. And I believe as many of you probably believe right now, that there is victory coming. Don't you believe it? Can't you see just the clouds, the distant clouds, the rain clouds is coming. We're going to see great drought. We're going to see great onslaught of spiritual rain going to be poured out. God's going to break the yoke of the enemy. The enemy's had control way too long. The enemy's cast down our lives, and the enemy has had strongholds, and the enemy has kept us from seeing victory way too long. It's going to take people who get stirred up and saying, God, I know you've won the victory, and Lord, I'm going to hang on until you bring the victory. He wants to do it. He wants to do it. Daniel praying. He's praying and he's fasting. He keeps seeking God. You know what? Victory was coming the whole time. The very first moment he prayed, God was sending the answer, but he hung on till the victory came. We need to do that in our lives, that no matter how long it takes, the Lord has already won the victory. It's on his way, but he's looking for us to walk in it daily and saying, Lord, I know you've won the victory in my life. I know that I'm not going to live this way anymore. I know there's new hope for me. And Lord, I'm going to walk in that victory. And when we walk in victory, there's things that starts changing in our lives. Things that used to be hopeless, now we have hope. Where there used to be anger, now there's love. Where there used to be despair, now there's this new, awesome excitement knowing that God's going to do things in Colossians 3:12, it says, "Put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, put on love, which is the bondness or bond of perfectness or perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Oh, there's these fruits where there used to be wrath and malice and strife and hate and fear and all these bad things that was in our life. Now the Lord is bringing forth fruits of love and mercy and tenderness and praying for one another and doing things that shows the world that something has happened on the inside, showing God that victory is happening within our lives. And that's what he wants to do, but we have to surrender to him. We have to surrender to him. Oh, we don't have to be dismayed. And if Sister Jarvis would come, if we don't have to be dismayed, we don't have to be fearful, for we serve a God who is all power. 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Let's read that again. "Ye are of God, little children, and this is already happened, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Don't be cast down. Don't be fearful. Don't care how bad that situation looks. No matter how, it doesn't matter that there's empty pews here. It doesn't matter that that people's not being healed or that these altars are not full. Because greater is he that is in us than he's in the world. He's already won. We've already overcome the enemy. But the enemy comes before you every day saying, "Oh, that doesn't apply to you. That's somebody else. You've got problems in your life. You're never going to experience that." That's just like he did in the garden. He come and said, "Did God really say that? God really say that?" And caused a plant of doubt in her mind. The enemy will come to you and say, "Is that stuff he's saying got any truth to it? It must be somebody else, or maybe another church or some other Christian, some of these great Christians. That's who he's talking about." No, you. If you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, then you can walk in this victory. He's already paid the price, and his desire in every single one of our lives is to walk in it daily. Oh, you're going to have problems. You're going to have situations you come up against that you don't know how it's going to turn out, but we do know how it turns out. We win. We have all victory. No matter what you come up against, you can say, "Devil, I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I know the Lord's got it under control. I win. I have victory. I know that my outcome is going to be eternal life. I know that there's a place prepared for me because why? I've been adopted. I've been adopted into the body of Christ. It wasn't anything. I wasn't natural born. You know what? I think in the state of Kentucky and maybe all the states, there is a provision for people that are adopted that is even greater than for those that are natural born, that they have to be in the inheritance. You got to put them there. There's no option. You've got to. Somebody that's your normal son and daughter that's natural born, you can leave them out. They don't act right. You got to leave them out. But when you're adopted, you have to have an inheritance. You got to have a peace. Well, let me tell you something. We've been adopted into the body of Christ and we have an inheritance. We have an eternal home. We have an eternal life. We have a place prepared for us and there's great victory and we don't have to wait there to get it, but we can experience it right here. And that's his design for our lives in this church, in every single one of our lives, is to stand and walk in victory. Let us stand. Almighty God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that by your mighty power, Lord, that you would take this feeble attempt and God, that you would open our eyes and let us see that God, you've won the victory. Lord, First Pentecostal Church, the victory's won. The enemy's back is broken. Lord, there is no stronghold that can stand against you. There is no sickness. There is no defeat. There is no disease. There is no problem. There is nothing, Lord, that could come against you, for you've already won the power. You've already won the power that the enemy must flee, that demons must shriek at your presence, Almighty God. And Lord, I pray right now that you would cast out the power of the enemy, Lord, that would come against this church and everyone, every life that's represented here, that God, you would give us great courage in our soul, and Almighty God, that we would stand up, Lord, in the victory that you've already won, and God, great victory, Lord, great victory. victory break out in this place. God, that strongholds be brought down. Marriages be put together. Healing happen, Lord. Finances in order. The altar's full. Lord, that this place would be a powerhouse of your presence, Lord, as we walk, and only God would be able to say that, oh, we can't even conceive what God is doing. Lord, you've won the victory. Lord, you've already done it. Lord, we claim it. We stand on it. We rebuke the power of the enemy that causes us not to believe it and not to walk in it. Lord, break down every barrier in every life, every stronghold, Lord, that keeps back your presence. God, that you would, God, bring it down. Lord, that you would take it out. That, God, there would be a victory in every single Christian life. God, that there be a freedom, Lord, that would happen starting in this place, this very hour, this very night. Bring victory. Victory, Lord. Bring victory that you've already paid for. Lord, we accept it. We believe it. We want it. We desire it, God. And we pray that tonight you do it. Start here. Start now, Lord. God, do it. Fulfill what you're trying to do, Lord. We believe it. We believe it. And God, we stand in it. Almighty God. Hallelujah. 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 Let's praise him. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, that you've done it, Lord. God, you've won a great and awesome victory, Lord. Lord, you've defeated the enemy who comes against us, Lord. You're the victor. You are perfect. Your power is, Lord, Lord, unlimited. Oh, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Hallelujah. 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 If you're in this place and that's you, and you can say, that's me, I need victory. I need more victory in my life. I don't want to go on the way I've been going on. I know God's got more for me, and I know I'm letting the devil have some ground and some strongholds in my life. I know that I'm letting him discourage me and cause me not to fully stand in the mighty victory God has for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? You say, I want more victory in my life. How many would raise their hand and say, Lord, that's me. Here I am. Here I am. I want more victory in my life, Lord. I want you to fulfill the exact plan you have for my life. If we could only see what God wants to do in our life. If you only could see the great and mighty things he wants to come to pass in your life. Things that you walk by and say, well, it'll never happen. And the Lord says, I've already paid the price. All you got to do is take hold of it. Oh, we would be just reaching out and calling out on him. This altar is now open. For every single person that says, God, that's me. I want victory. I want victory. I don't want the enemy to have one stronghold. I don't want him to have one foot in my life. I want to see great victory in this church and in my life right here. Come at this time. Let's find a place in this altar. Call in on God. The great and mighty victor is standing in this place tonight. The victor of our souls is here to bring victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.